morning's reading is taken from John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Good morning. How are we today? Good. I love a good cry prayer. Anyway, so first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be an intern here. And we shall begin. Today we're going to be talking about Gideon, as you can clearly see, continuing in our heroes of faith. And specifically, we're going to be looking at how God sees us. We're going to be looking at idols, we're going to be looking at trusting in God, and then looking at abiding in him. So if you'd like to turn to Judge 6, that's page 247 in the Pew Bibles. And don't worry, we're not reading at all. But as we go through the story, it will be good to make sure I'm preaching on the right thing, so people keep me right. So just a little bit of context, and by my amazing drawing, we're going to look at the Midianite oppression. And to give some background of it, Judges 6 tells us that the people of Israel were doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian. This made the people of Israel retreat into the caves in the mountains, because the Midianites would just come and plunder all their villages and all their land, and when they would plant crops, they would steal it, basically. And the people cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent a prophet to them, in which the prophet said that they hadn't been listening to the Lord. And also, I'd just like to, so basically, the tree is an Asherah tree, and the yellow thing is meant to be Baal. Just getting hung of the clicker. So, how God sees us versus how we see ourselves. So, Judges 6, 12 to 16. Now, the first words we hear about Gideon are from an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Gideon replies with, "Why is this happening?" regarding the Midianite oppression. And he tells Gideon to go and save Israel from the Midianites by my hand. And where Gideon tells God that he is the weakest tribe of Manasseh and the least in his father's house. So how could he do such a thing? The Lord replies and tells Gideon, "For the Lord will be with you." So Gideon then asks for a sign. He builds, he brings bread and cake, and he asks the Lord to just show him that it's truly him. who is calling Gideon to save Israel by his hand. And then once the cake and the meat were burnt, Gideon built an altar over the place that where this happened, and he called it, "The Lord is peace." I'm sure that's a lot for a human man who apparently is the weakest of the least to hear. The least of the weakest, sorry. And he's going to save Israel from the Midianites and the Amalekites. And I'm sure that's how we'd all respond if God called us to do such a big thing. Like if an angel of the Lord just appeared to you and said, "A mighty man of valor or woman of valor, you're going to save Israel by my hand." I just, you know, it'd be quite a shock, to be honest. But it's important to look at what God is actually saying. And his first words to him are, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." God sees something, saw something in Gideon, which Gideon didn't see in himself. And maybe that's a testament to what it's like with us. Maybe God sees something in you, which you don't think is there. Maybe you think you are the least of the weakest, while the Lord sees you as this mighty man or woman of valor. And reading this made me think of a coach and an athlete, which is quite topical because we have the Olympics and the Paralympics on over the summer. And for any athletes in the room, I'm sure you know that feeling that you're not quite good enough for a match or a game or the performance. But the coach is there cheering you on, telling you how good you are, as the coach believes in you and sees something in you. It's the same that God sees something great in you and wants to use you. We've gone more into the story. Judges 6, 25 to 32. Now the next part of the story is tearing down the idols. So God is commanding Gideon to go to the idol of Baal and the idol of Asherah and tear them down. So Gideon does that, and being scared of how the people would react, he did it in the middle of the night. And he gathered a few people, and he took a bull, and he tore down the altar of Baal, and then he cut down the Asherah tree. And then out of that, he does quite a good power move, where with the wood from the Asherah and using a second bull, creates a burnt offering to the Lord. But the next morning, when the people of the town found out that Gideon had done this, they were furious. They were so angry with him because they just destroyed what they had held so high. And as you saw from the image, their eyes were pointed towards Baal and the Asherah. And they were so angry that they wanted to put Gideon to death, but they'd torn down these idols. Gideon's father then tell the men that they are supporting Baal, and that if Baal is actually a god, then can't Baal defend himself? So just as Gideon tore down the altar and the Asherah, so do we need to tear down idols that we put over God. It could be certain hobbies, your phone or job, money, people, or one of the biggest idols of this day, the self. Putting our wants over what God wants. My plans are not God's plans. And we do this all the time, and it can be in little ways or big ways of how we spend our time. So I wonder, what's the Bible to phone balance? Like, are we reading our Bible maybe this much every day, but our phones, I know for me it can be like that quite a lot. Or our Bible to television balance, or even Bible to novel balance. Are we claiming to know God and to God know us? And does it show? So just as we tear down these things in our lives, so we build our altar to the Lord in its place. Taking out our bad habits with good habits, things that weren't pleasing to the Lord with things that are pleasing to the Lord, and unfruitful things with the fruitful things. And so we as Christians and followers of the one true God must tear down these idols in our life and replace it with the altar. And though you may get backlash, as Gideon did, The Lord will be with you, and he will make you strong. And you must trust in him to help you overcome these things, just as Gideon did. So trusting in the Lord. So Judges 6, 36 to 40 talks about the sign of the fleece. Now this is a very important part of the story. And we've already had Gideon asking for a sign from God, but this next sign is way bigger. It's Gideon ready to do what God wants him to do, but he just isn't quite 100% sure that it's from God. So Gideon asks the Lord, "If you will save Israel by my hand, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is any dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know you are to save Israel by my hand, as you have said." So that happens the next morning. Gideon wakes up and he feels the ground, and it is dry, and the fleece is covered in dew. Then Gideon potentially feels bad and a bit scared about this. And his first words are, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test you once more." And so it happens again, but it's flipped around in the dry fleece and the dew on the ground. No, yeah, no. Did I say the same thing twice? Is that right? Okay. Sorry. Now, this is such an important part of the story, as this is the sign Gideon needs to be able to trust God fully to do what he commands. He doesn't just keep asking and double-checking. I mean, he does it three times, but after this, it's then, you know, the final time. And he trusts God, and when it comes to the biggest part of gathering his soldiers to go fight the Midianites, and the crazy plan of just sending 9,700 men away, and then Gideon's like, okay, well, now I have a smaller army. So then later on, God says, okay, send another, you know, 12,000 away. So Gideon's left with 300 men versus the thousands and thousands of Midianite soldiers. And he trusts him in this plan to surround the camp and for each Israel man to hold a jar and a trumpet. And in unison, they would smash the jars with a torch. The torch would be in the jar. And then they'd hold up their torches, they'd blow their trumpets, and they'd all shout, "For the Lord and for Gideon." I know, that's a crazy plan, because you wouldn't think that would work. But it did. And we read that the Midianites went into a frenzy of just fear and confusion to the point where they all started killing each other. Which is quite gruesome and violent, but it's just such an interesting way of what God wanted to do. And we can apply this to our lives, not the frenzy of killing each other. I'm talking about the trust part. And I wonder if there has been, or you are in, a time in your life where you're putting out your fleece, and God has kept giving you this sign, but you keep just putting out your fleece. Metaphorically, not like, yeah. Maybe God is commanding you to do something, and through fear, worry, not trusting God, or just disobedience, that you don't want to actually follow him. We should trust in the Lord. And though we will ask for signs, which we don't need to, because God's already proven himself time and time again in Scripture and in every one of our lives. But how do we trust in God? And what did Jesus say? Now, if you'd like to turn to John 15 again, which is page 1083, I think, in the Pew Bibles. And we're looking at John 15, 1 to 11, as Jane read out for us. So John 15 is all about the vine. And Jesus, during this part, tells us to abide in him, to trust him, and to love him. Jesus said that he is the vine and that the Father is the vine dresser and that he takes away things that do not bear fruit and prunes things so that they do bear more fruit. He tells us to abide in him. Abide is to remain. Because we can't bear fruit on our own, we need Jesus to do that for us. Furthermore, in this verse, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So trusting and being obedient to God is part of abiding. And then after verse 11, it talks about loving one another, being in fellowship. But what does this really mean? Now it means that when we are faced with things in our lives, like idols, we, like Gideon, should tear them down with the power of the Lord. For he is with us to be strong against the kingdom of the world, who will be angry with you just as they were with Gideon. And we know that from this day and age. It means that we are obedient to God and to God's word and presence as Gideon was. To abide is to follow. Jesus says to keep the commandments God is giving you, but not just the Ten Commandments or the new golden commandment that Jesus talked about, but the wisdom God is giving us to do things that please him and to follow him and to trust him when he is calling you to do something, just as Gideon. And we are in fellowship with one another, and we are all a part of the vine, we as the church. We abide in God's family together, and we support each other, we grow, love, and trust each other. So to trust in God is to abide in him, in his word and his teaching. So we are called to love him and love others, and repent of our sins and be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to invite the band back up. And as I do so, I'd like to wonder a few things and ask you a few questions. How do you think God sees us? And how do you think we see ourselves? What are our idols that we hold above God? And how do we tear them down? How can we trust in God? And how do we abide in him? And not just us as individuals, but also as a church body, the bride to the bridegroom. Maybe we sometimes act like the people of Israel did in the story by not listening, following, or trusting the Lord. Let me pray, and we will sing our final song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you love us and that you abide in us when we abide in you. We thank you for sending your Son down as a sacrifice so we can have an eternal relationship with you. Lord, I pray you help us to be more trusting, loving, and abiding. Lord, keep us in your grasp and in your presence. And when we hear your voice and when we feel your presence, Lord, I pray we keep in you and we abide in you, just as Gideon did. Lord, I pray you help us tear down our idols and keep you at our center. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.